Stephen Colbert accidentally humiliated CNN and their primetime anchor, Caitlin Collins, who has stage 4 RBF, resting, you know what, face, after he made a comment so absurd that his own audience couldn't help but laugh at him.
Trump has kind of been thrown on his heels by this, and he's not really sure how to go after Vice President Harris. He knew his attack lines on President Biden. He really has struggled with how to go after someone who's 20 years younger than him, who is a different gender, a different race. It's kind of been this moment where he has not been able to coalesce around a single attack line.
I know you guys are objective over there, that you just report the news as it is.
Oh, I know. CNN makes a... I know.
Was that supposed to be a laugh line?
I wasn't supposed to be, but I guess it is.
Even the loser liberals who watch Stephen Colbert's show, even the dedicated ones who got tickets to be in the studio audience, know that the Clown News Network is a joke. And obviously so is Camelface, who is pandering to the Democrat Party's new base, the you-know-whos.
Hi, my name's Sally Hartman. I'm a volunteer with the Center for Worker Justice.
Okay.
I want to know, when you become president, would you be committing to close immigration detention centers?
Absolutely, on day one.
Day one. Not closing the border, of course. Closing the detention centers, keeping the border wide open. Opening it even wider, if that's even possible. That way, the hundreds of thousands of criminal invaders who cross the border every month after month, year after year, under the Biden administration, under the Harris administration, then they won't have the inconvenience of being detained and identified. This way, they could just come on in and make themselves at home wherever they want. So that's her top priority. And the only other policy that she has even discussed over the last 3 weeks that she has been the new Democrat nominee has been the idea that she stole from Donald Trump about not taxing tips on waiters, waitresses, and service workers, which is being hailed as a brilliant idea now from the liberal media, this from CBS News. Vice President Kamala Harris is rolling out a new policy position, the only policy position other than, you know, welcoming in the criminal invaders, saying she'll fight to end taxes on tips for service and hospitality workers. But when Donald Trump first came up with the idea a couple months ago, CBS News said former President Donald Trump's vow to stop taxing tips would cost the federal government up to $250 billion over 10 years. What makes this even more absurd is Kamala Harris cast the deciding vote to pass a piece of Orwellian legislation 2 years ago called the Inflation Reduction Act, which obviously did the exact opposite of its name, as many bills do. It increased inflation. Because when there's a tie in the Senate, then the vice president votes to break the tie since it's so close. And in that bill, there's a provision to specifically increase the number of IRS agents to make sure that service workers are paying taxes on their tips. Because it's not so much anymore, but people still do tip a lot using cash. And so obviously a lot of the service workers aren't going to declare that as income. And so the IRS is upset about that. And so in that bill was a provision for them to try to ensure that they're paying their taxes, or to come up with some formula to estimate the supposed number of tips that they got. And then if they were underreporting, then they were going to have to pay more. And so she cast the deciding vote for the IRS to start snooping around people's taxes to make sure they're paying taxes on their tips. But now her first piece of legislation that she's promising to roll out as president is an idea she stole from President Trump to do the exact opposite. And this is the current cover of Time magazine. They're trying to recreate that famous Obama hope image, but she didn't actually do an interview with Time magazine, which is customary. When you're going to be on the cover of Time magazine, it's because they sit down and interview you. But Kamala Harris is not doing interviews. Any interviews. This from the Washington Post. As Harris has learned from Biden, avoiding interviews is a good strategy. This from the New York Times. Kamala Harris isn't giving interviews. Any questions? Critics say the vice president has been too cautious with the press. Her supporters think it's the right strategy at the right time. So she's been the Democrat nominee for 3 weeks now, after the coup within the Democrat Party, and she hasn't sat down for a single interview with anyone from the media. All she's doing is doing rallies and reading teleprompter scripts. Meanwhile, Donald Trump is doing what political candidates are supposed to do. He's doing interviews, he's holding press conferences, and earlier this week, he did a 2-hour long interview with Elon Musk on Twitter, on the Twitter Spaces, or the X Spaces, which is their audio chat feature. And there were some technical difficulties because there were so many people tuned in that the system had a hard time, and so it was delayed. But then the fake news headlines started rolling out saying that Trump rambles and slurred his way through the Elon Musk interview, calling it an unmitigated disaster. Now, it did sound like he was slurring at times, and anybody who works for the mainstream media, these billion-dollar corporations, either should have known or should have asked somebody who would have known before publishing ridiculous headlines saying that he was slurring throughout the interview and that something must be wrong with them, because there are often audio issues when systems are overloaded, and there were over 1 million people listening live just to the Twitter stream. Not to mention all the other people were actually listening to restreams, because there were a lot of YouTubers who were restreaming that interview to their audience. I saw streams of 80,000, 100,000 people. So there was well over 1 million people listening just on the Twitter app alone, overloading it, the biggest live stream that they've ever had. And so there were some audio compression issues that did at times make it sound like he was slurring. But Donald Trump himself was recording it, or his team was recording it. And if you listen to those clips, it sounded perfectly fine. The media is just furious that Donald Trump could do 2-hour rallies and 2-hour interviews while Kamala Harris won't even answer a single question. And of course, Elon Musk offered Kamala to come on X, to come on Twitter and do a Spaces, do a live interview with him, which of course she will never do. And the lunatics in the White House press corps are demanding that the government do something to suppress the free, it really is only freer speech on Twitter. It still isn't actually free speech. There's still some individuals who haven't been restored. There's still some tweets that use some words that hurt certain people's feelings that do violate the rules and then get taken down. But it is much better. But just to be clear, it's not a free speech platform. It's a freer speech platform. But the clowns in the White House press corps, very upset that Elon has loosened the rules and demand that the government do something.
Elon Musk is slated to interview Donald Trump tonight on X. I don't know if the president is going to tune in. Feel free to say if he is or not. But I think that misinformation on Twitter is not just a campaign issue. It's a, you know, it's an America issue. What role does the White House or the president have in sort of stopping that, or stopping the spread of that, or sort of intervening in that? Some of that was about campaign misinformation, but, you know, it's a wider thing, right?
Yeah, no, and you've heard us talk about this many times from here, about the responsibilities that social media platforms have when it comes to misinformation, disinformation. Don't have anything to read out from here about specific ways that we're working on it, but we believe that they have the responsibility. Look, it is. I think it is incredibly important to call that out as you're doing. I just don't have any specifics on what we have been doing internally.
Well, it's obvious that you're part of the conspiracy trying to take down Elon and Twitter through lawfare and advertiser boycotts, and you're ignoring the fact that they actually have a very good feature built in for fact checking called the community notes feature, which regularly does add notes at the bottom of tweets when people do post fake news and misinformation.
Musk's rise as a Trump backer comes as X has turned into a haven for the spread of misinformation. Since buying the site almost 2 years ago, Musk's site has struggled to control it on topics ranging from the election to the assassination attempt against Trump.
Actually, it was Democrats who spread misinformation, disinformation about the assassination attempt against President Trump by doubting that he was even shot at all. And is it just me, or is it truly bizarre that that story has been dumped down the memory hole? You would think that an attempted assassination that came within millimeters of being successful of a leading presidential candidate, former president, would actually be a bigger deal instead of something that the media talked about just for a few days and then dumped down the memory hole. And thank God it wasn't successful. And interestingly enough, it did give us perhaps one of the most iconic images in American history, which of course I put on a t-shirt, which you should order from my online store, markdice.com, or click the link in the description below and check them out.